take you through the Microx story. This visually is the kind of executive summary of our core benefit, particularly in this first product that we're doing, the mobile medical X-ray. You'll see the big white thing there is a normal X-ray tube that you would find in a mobile X-ray. It's about this long. It's you know 200 300 mils and in diameter, and it's the weight of 26 kilograms that's the killer. Our technology allows it to be miniaturized to the size of a grapefruit in 1 kilogram, and obviously the reduction in size and weight and complexity and therefore cost that attributes for that size of X-ray tube is the core benefit of our first product. Our core business model is everything that we plan to do. This is just a little overview to start with. Everything we plan to do is all based on this carbon nanotube emitter. Not only does it allow, you know, savings in weight and size, but the fact that it's electronically controlled allows us a whole raft of new electronic imaging modalities in X-ray. And that's very much where the future of the company goes. But our first product, our path to market is with the global market leader in mobile X-ray. That's Carestream Health. They've got about 40% of the premier tier of mobile imaging. Our deal with them is we manufacture it in an OEM deal. It's in their colors. They buy it at our factory door in Adelaide, and we'll distribute it to 130 countries around the world. And we're discussing follow-on medical products, imaging products in the same vein, a similar kind of arrangement. We've also got a contract from the Department of Defense. We want to leverage that in not only mobile medical imaging for deployed health facilities, but also for counterterrorism imaging of IEDs or suspected IEDs. So we'll come to all of that later in detail. This is our first product. The product space, the thing on the left here is the AMX4. GE created this market about 30 years ago with this monster. It is a monster. The bloke that's pushing it is ginormous. Obviously, that's a marketing photograph that makes the machine look smaller, but most people you see pushing these X-ray machines around hospitals can't see over the top of it, which is the space that's broken. The kind of operating environment is the ICU cubicle you can see on the right, full of IV lines and ventilators and infusion pumps and stuff like that you really don't want to impact with a 500 or 600 kilogram car. So that's the problem we're trying to solve. This is how we're solving it. The small tube giving us a 90 kilogram ultra lightweight. At the risk of being immodest, it's the design is really lovely. The guys on the Carestream stand at the Radiographic Society of North America meeting in Chicago last week were demonstrating this by pushing this cart literally with their little finger around the stand and amazing everyone because you can't even do that with a motorized cart. And so the visibility, the clean lines, the ease of use has won lots of friends. We had a great show. Carestream count the leads on all the products every day. They're kind of electronically scan people that express interest in products, and every single day the Nano clearly won the most leads. By the time the show finished on Thursday, they had over 600 strong leads of hospitals and buying chains to follow up on, so could not have been better. Carestream, of course, the business deal here is that they're very focused on, they're an imaging company. Of course, they used to be Kodak Medical Imaging, so they used to do X-ray film, replaced that early on 10 years ago when the company was founded with the first digital detector. And that's still the core of their business. One of the reasons they're very happy to do this partnering with us is their dream is to get this detector and the software that runs it into as many hospitals as they can because digital radiography is very infectious, and once you've got one installation, they want everything digital. And of course, Carestream sell the digital support hardware, the PACS, picture archiving, and radiographic management systems. So they're very much an image management company to work for us. And then they've got the brand image. They're very excited about this because, of course, it's such an innovative product. So in the past year, one of the, quite a few little things we'll do, we'll go over some of the achievements. But getting the manufacturing processes set up, implemented, and validated has been a big part of that. Our manufacturing team has been recruited from Holden quite deliberately, because we wanted to bring the kind of mindset of cost effectiveness and quality and the rigor of production that occurs in car manufacture when you're on a 90-second schedule for every operation that must take 90 seconds, then the way you design your production build for that reliability of time and quality is a rigor that we're really enjoying. And Kestrel has been very impressed at that as well. So very, very pleased with the automotive influence we've had. A 13485 accreditation we got this year on a single audit, which is quite an achievement for a startup company. Again, that shows the kind of rigor of the team and their attitude to quality that we could get there. 13485, of course, is the kind of medical device version of ISO 9001. So full company quality management system. We're also being very zealous about reliability, because if you have an unreliable product, it can not only damage your brand and the product in the marketplace, but it can cost you a lot of money in warranty repairs or latent defects. So we've been very zealous in trying to make sure that this product is as reliable as it can be, again, with this expectation from the car industry. Our contract with Carestream says no more than two service calls a year, and the car industry people think that's a bit silly, because you don't buy a Holden Commodore and expect it to break down twice in the 1 year. So we've done over 250,000 cycles by now, which is well more than 10 years activity, and that's deployment of the head, taking x-rays, and so these things have been hashed to death for nearly a year now. Found a lot of issues where the design could have been better, things that wore out a bit faster than we thought they would. We fixed all those, got those back in, and we're in the last week or two of proving that we've achieved the reliability targets that we've held for ourselves. So very, very pleased about that. Life testing of the new technology is important. In fact, Charlie Hicks was actually who came down from Carestream to celebrate our first production delivery to them of the first from production. Mentioned that this is not a small feat, because this is in 140 years of X-ray, this is the first tube of its kind. Every tube, X-ray tube before this, has used a hot filament emitter, which of course is the most unreliable part of every tube. And this is the first tube that's electronic. It's like the first LED when everything else has been an incandescent light bulb. So like the LED, it's very efficient on power, and its lifetime is really quite exciting, just like LED lights are. So we're proving that at the moment. We're well past 5 years. And because of the way the technology works, you can actually predict the decay of the life. And our predictions are showing at the moment that the tubes are looking like 20, 30-year life, which is very exciting in a world where 3 is an average life expectation, and everyone celebrates if you get 5 years out of an X-ray tube. The little celebration we had for our formal acceptance of the first from production, that was MSN number 15. Since then, all the carts we've produced are the final standard, medical grade, ready for use. So that's a big milestone for everyone. Carestream came down as because Charlie Hicks, the boss, just wanted to see our facility and get a feel for what we were doing, and he was very impressed. He made some very very generous remarks in front of our premier about the company and the technology, not the least of which he said that we're not working with Micro-X because they're conveniently close to Rochester, New York, which was kind of the understatement that all of us live quite frequently. So they're starting to lift the marketing machine, big promotions at RSNA, gearing up. They'll be doing quotes, I think, by the end of this month to follow up on the 600 leads from RSNA, and get this machine in everyone's forward budget for 2018. We've done a lot of trade shows in the last year. The importance of these is, you know, the global market for mobile X-ray is about 10,000 units, of which 2,500 are the top tier that we're aiming at, where integrated digital, where the image is captured digitally in a detector under the patient, wireless to the cart, the radiographer can then manipulate it and then wireless it to the hospital computer for radiographers to view. That's the aspirational launch market. But there's another 7,500 much simpler, old-fashioned units still using wet film image detection. And the long-term market for Nano is starting to convert those customers to the entry-level digital, which at the price point that Carestream are looking at is quite achievable for markets like South America and Asia, even parts of Southern Europe, where healthcare systems can't afford the $150,000. That's the normal price for a top of the line X-ray cart. Also done a lot of work with the military because of our contract to the deployed hospital, military hospital. Think MASH 4077. That's pretty much the way they are. So one part of our contract was to do usability trials just to see how the cart performs, issues like ground clearance and stability and motion. And we left everyone extremely happy with how it performed in every aspect of the hospital. So lots of usability, and that's what a mobile hospital looks like. We've the Department of Defense is out. Has a tender which closes, I think, next week. It's about a $400 million tender to resupply entire mobile hospital. There are five prime contractors bidding to win that job, and it is a turnkey provision, so it's everything from beds, tents, generators, medical supplies, all medical equipment, and of course there's a big radiology component in that. They've obviously made some pretty strong hints that they know what the radiology component is going to be. So all five tenderers have approached us for bids for the tender. So bad news for us is we've had to tender five times in the last couple of months. The good news is we don't care who wins. We've got our equipment in this competition. But the other defense interest that we have is in counterterrorism. Dealing with bombs, be it car bombs or any small device, is X-ray is the number one tool that the bomb disposal people use. Because they just don't know what's inside, they don't know how it works. So today there's no way other than to put a man over the top of it. The little black thing you see in his hand is a little X-ray source used in non-destructive testing, and you see the black imaging plate behind it. Sadly, terrorists often don't leave bombs with a nice gap so that you can get a detector behind the object. So often they can't get the X-ray, in which case they're no idea what they're dealing with. Sometimes the detector itself becomes the actuation mechanism because they booby trap the soil or the sand underneath behind the device as the actuation method. Sometimes it works by mobile phone, so just while you're setting up to take the X-ray, the device can go off. Mark Holmes, who's the head of the Australian Federal Police Bomb Disposal Squad in Canberra, pictured here in his bomb suit. That's bomb suit is, he said, only keeps the jam in if something goes off. It's anything less than 5 meters is totally useless. So this is not a very nice thing to do for a daily job. What they want instead, of course, is Superman vision. They want to be able to look at a parcel or a backpack and see what's inside it. That technology exists. It's called backscatter imaging. Problem is it's very bulky just because of the way you have to produce a pencil beam to scan the object to get a backscatter image. So great for trucks, and you get very interesting images with backscatter technology. It's very easy to see the images, and unlike normal X-ray where absorption gives you the contrast, in backscatter imaging, the contrast depends on the atomic number of the material, because the X-rays are actually getting absorbed and re-emitted. So, and it turns out that low atomic numbers, atoms such as carbon, nitrogen, and oxygen, i.e. basically organic compounds, show up really well on backscatter imaging, which is why it's very easy to see people and explosives. Any energetic material are usually made of that kind of stuff. Shape recognition is a lot easier. They have tried to miniaturize it and make it mobile, and this is the best they can do. Company in the US, it's a 5-ton truck. I'm not sure you're actually allowed to drive along city streets and irradiate people without their permission, but they do in Afghanistan. But it's not really a device that you can use in urban situations in a first world country. Our technology does allow serious miniaturization, which is why they're getting so excited. Basically, this tube you see on the left here is a single tube, but we put 75 emitters in it. And we fire them in sequence by turning the emitters on and off. So we create a moving scanning X-ray beam, but with no moving parts. It's like CT, but you don't need to move it. And that allows us to miniaturize a backscatter imager such that you could put it on a small robot. This is a Talon robot, which is used by bomb disposal people all over the world. It's about a meter long. So it's something that you can use indoors very easily. It can climb stairs, enter rooms, and basically with our device, the plan is you can just point it at a suspicious device and you can see immediately if there's a bomb or not. We were contracted by the Department of Defense to develop a benchtop version of that to look at targets just like this. We got a lot of interest from a lot of parties, and we're contracted by the Department of Defense, but Federal Police, the U.S. has been interested. There's been intelligence sharing about the Five Eyes network. South Australian Police Bomb Squad helped us make some bombs to look at. Turns out they didn't make all of them. Some of them they're actually found. So Adelaide's not as safe a place to live in as we thought. And a lot of people from Defense Science and Innovation in the U.S. were also interested in this demonstration. We just demonstrated the payload on a benchtop sense, so we didn't need to put it on the robot, but we've demonstrated all the working parts of this product and the software that makes it work. Basically just put it on a drive system on the bench and started looking at backpacks. And this is the kind of thing that we saw. So very, very bomb disposal people very excited at that, because what they wanted to know that they could get an image. I mean, yes, they knew that they would see energetic material, so they could see something that was going to hurt them. But the next question is, how are they going to make this thing safe? And to do that, they need to know how it worked. This is an actual bomb that South Australian Police bought us. It's in a backpack. You can see the line of the zip of the backpack and just some shadow, perhaps, if the screen's been nice to us, of the clothes that's packed around it. It's a plastic cereal container. full of urea is the active ingredient. You can see the mobile phone behind it. You can see the two detonators, the wires, and there's a little mercury tilt switch in there as well. So the guys were very happy because they could look at this and see everything they needed to see. They knew exactly what they would do is aim a charge to disrupt this. And the idea being to disrupt the energy source and the detonator before it had a chance to explode. So we spent a whole day doing all kinds of imaging. We actually made some bombs on the spot with nails and ball bearings. The one on the left here is a liquid explosive, again, with a mobile phone and a print circuit board and some wires. You can see the good resolution on the wires, even though that's behind 3 millimeters of metal. So we can see through metal as well. And the one on the right, they were very, very interested in as well. That's a Glock pistol, which is a lot of plastic and almost invisible in conventional X-ray. So, but of course, it shows up very well on the backscatter. As a consequence of that and some other ideas we had with this technology sharing and exchange, we had a visit from a large group of homemade explosive experts from the U.S., the Counterterrorism Technical Support Office and the Department of Homeland Security, because they're really seeing this as the next potential frontier in security imaging. As a result of that, the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory approached us to say, would we sign a collaboration with them to do joint development, the idea being that we would, with them, apply for DHS funding in the U.S. to take this technology to the next level, obviously something that we're quite interested in doing. And working with the Lawrence Livermore just kind of takes our credibility within the U.S. To the next level. So we expect a joint funding proposal to be very well received by the Department of Homeland Security. The new technology that we're looking at co-developing with National, I shouldn't say co-developing because under the deal it's RIP, but they'll be assisting because they see it for a national good within the U.S. Basically, because our tube is electronically controlled, we can actually not just turn it on and off quickly, but we can actually modulate it. Without going into too much technical detail, if we have an array of emitters modulated, we can actually form an X-ray version of a phased array radar, which is a kind of radar that the military use. It basically enables you to change in real time electronically the size of the beam and steer the beam and produce three-dimensional imaging from the modulation of the different sources using different phases. Pretty exciting. That's what Lawrence Livermore want to do very badly, because they're the big push in security in the U.S. is all about detecting smaller and smaller amounts of radiation, of explosive. And because a suicide bomber in a plane only needs a few grams of high explosive if it's put in the right place to bring the plane down. Hence why they're talking about laptop bans, because they don't think they can discriminate it. Using current technology, the amount of material that you can hide in a laptop is very, very, very easy. But this phased array X-ray gives us a unique potential to be able to look at the signature of an object within a three-dimensional image field, and the X-ray backscatter will be a unique signal of what that material is. So hence that material's characterization, be able to find very small amounts of explosive and characterize it because of the atomic signature, is why the U.S. are so interested in working with it. So we do know we're onto something quite special. And of course, there's a potential to take that technology one day down the track back into medical imaging, because material characterization is kind of like biopsy. So if you can do an X-ray biopsy of a mammogram and tell the difference between a tumor and a calcification in a mammogram, then you've got a very exciting product as well. So there's no shortage of things that we can do with this. Our friends at Carestream are very keen for us to look at the next stage in mobile medical X-ray, and that is basically a bedside CT. The idea of using more than one tube, some spaced apart, to get orthogonal views of the same anatomy in sequential images, and then you process it together to get a computed tomography image. So that's the concept. They do have mobile CT. These are mobile. You can see there are casters on it, so they must be mobile. But that's, you know, really not very helpful in the context of wheeling one of those into an ICU where you've got a patient on life support. It isn't really going to solve the problem. So we did some testing just to look at the product concept using a conventional transmission X-ray of a chest phantom. We imaged that with seven tubes, the idea being that you'd have a cart that looks pretty much like the current nano, but with seven tubes. You fire them in sequence, capture the seven images, and then process them basically into CT slices like a normal CT sliced image would be. And you can see here the different slices through the chest cavity of this phantom. So that's an exciting prospect. I actually think that the real application of this is probably in brain imaging, using, they call it perfusion imaging, where you put contrast in the blood and you're looking for strokes, basically clots in the brain. You have to do that in a three-dimensional sense for that to make sense. But the nice thing about that in a mobile sense is that the diagnosis of a stroke is the early diagnosis is a big indicator of the likely recovery. So having a mobile device, perhaps even in an ambulance, where you could get a rapid three-dimensional perfusion image of a brain and diagnose a stroke is quite an exciting prospect. So not saying we're doing it yet, but it's one of a number of avenues where this technology can go, and we're lucky enough that we can kind of choose whichever one of these applications looks like it makes the most financial sense. Obviously working with partners in evaluating the economics of that. So coming months, the final trade trials of the Nano pre-launch in the USA. We should have our CE marking by the end of this year. And first customer shipments, we're hoping very early in the new year. We're doing a higher power version of the Nano tube for the military, and that also points to a second generation of product, the medical cart, and our development of the mobile backscatter imaging. We're hoping to get the first fieldable prototype done by the end by this time next year. So, a lot more engagement with the Department of Homeland Security to secure some funding to help us with a lot of that. And that's us in short form.